The sermon text this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we're taking a look at this beatitude or this blessed statement. And I want you to notice that these blessed statements, the first one for sure, and the others too, are, they're objective conditions, right? Poor in spirit, meek, hungry, thirsting for righteousness. No, these are the statements of a person's objective condition. Now, who was the people that Jesus was ministering to? Okay, so he was ministering to the lame, he was ministering to the blind, to the deaf, to lepers, even to the dead, for he called the dead back to life. They all had conditions that needed curing. The same objective character applies to the poor who received the good news. As Jesus said to John the Baptizer's disciples, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. There it is. The poor have good news preached to them. Now, when poor is used in this sense here, that does not necessarily mean the cash poor, but the spiritually poor. To be spiritually poor is the equivalent of being spiritually destitute, without resource, without the things that one needs in the spiritual realm. Those who are poor in spirit must have their spiritual needs provided for them by another. They are sinners who are called by God. They need to be forgiven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said. What does that acknowledge? That acknowledges original sin. Jesus is acknowledging we have original sin. And who are the poor in spirit? If there's original sin, who are the poor in spirit? That's everybody. That's all of us. Every human being that ever was, is, and will be are the poor in spirit. All people are incapable of paying their own sins. All people are spiritually destitute. Jesus has come to pay for our sins. He has come to pay the price that we could not pay. So the kingdom of heaven, who does it belong to? The kingdom of heaven belongs to people who recognize and understand that they have no spiritual resources of their own. When you get to the point of understanding that you need a Savior, right? So this is what the law does, right? The law accuses, the law kills, the law brings us to the point where we understand that we can't do this on our own. We can't keep the law. We can't fulfill all righteousness. It brings us down to where we humbly repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. When we get to that point where we understand we need a Savior, then comes the promise that already right now, the blessings of heaven belong to you. That is, when you confess, when you recognize your own inability to believe on your own or to grasp the faith by your own power or strength, it is then that yours is the kingdom of heaven. So it says in the meaning of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, do we not say, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him? But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. I can't do it. Not a lick. I can't. Therefore, I am spiritually poor. So it's not necessarily, so to speak, about me. It's about what God has done for me, what he has done. Who cannot? Let's get the word. Who cannot? Who is helpless? Who is the man lying in the road on the way to Jerusalem, beaten and bloodied, unable to save himself? to the one who does not work but believes in the one who justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted as righteousness. And just as King David speaks the blessing on the one whom God counts as righteous apart from the works of the law, he said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count his sin against him. Blessed are the spiritually poor," and recognize it. Blessed? Why are they blessed? Why are they blessed? Because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It is their present possession. And you note that word, is. It is theirs. The word is a present tense word. Is theirs. Present possessive. The kingdom of heaven belongs now to the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven. Not an earthly kingdom, but God's kingdom. Now you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? What happened when he did that? What were the people going to do? They were going to come in a group. They were going to grab a hold of him. They were going to force him to be king. And what did he do when he recognized that that was going on? He withdrew from the people. Or in Luke, when the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come, and Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And very clearly, Jesus was asked if he was a king. He told Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Not of this world. But what did the disciples of Jesus experienced that convinced them that they were of the kingdom of heaven? What did Jesus do? What was going on? They saw the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus healed the paralyzed man, what did Jesus do first? Jesus first addressed his most important issue, his most important problem. Jesus said to him, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." The disciples witnessed physical healings as they traveled Galilee with Jesus. And as he preached the word to the people, he ministered to the sick and the diseased, those with chronic pain, the epileptics, the paralytics, those oppressed with demons. The disciples were given inspired or divinely inspired knowledge. When Jesus was asked why he spoke in parables, what did he say? He said, To you, my disciples, has been given the knowledge to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given." Right? It has been given. From who? From where? From the Holy Spirit. From God the Father. The knowledge that the disciples had was a given knowledge. It's not something they figured out on their own. The knowledge was given to them. And recall Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say to him? "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The disciples became convinced of what they had seen and heard, that the kingdom of God was among them. And Jesus, as he walked among them, was bringing the kingdom of God. And yet here we are, thousands of years later. We do not have Jesus walking the dusty roads of Lincoln with us. We have his word and his sacrament. So what about us? We live in the great, what we call the great now, not yet. Think of it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Each of us, conceived and born in original sin, are brought into the kingdom of God through the waters of holy baptism. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, and you are heirs of the promise. This is who you are. You also are of the kingdom of God. For you confess that you are poor, miserable sinners, that there's nothing within you that can appease the wrath of God, that it must be done by someone outside of you. Each of us, we were brought to baptism by God's Holy Spirit, working through the Word in our parents, or in we ourselves if you came as an adult convert to the faith of Christianity. We who are poor, we who are broken, we who are lost in the guilt and poverty of our own sin, now have the kingdom of God as our possession. We are given the power of the Holy Spirit for faith and obedience, along with the nourishment of the sacrament of the altar, in which Christ gives us His very own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and the confidence of life everlasting. In this sacrament, Christ's saving death is proclaimed, and His fruits of His atonement are distributed to us. In repentant faith, we who were formerly destitute, with no ability of our own to believe, now receive Christ. We receive His body and His blood, the fruits of His atonement. That is, the forgiveness of your sins is distributed to you, the repentant believer. So if you want to know what the kingdom of heaven looks like, sit down in your pew and watch communion. Because that's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. It looks like your neighbor reverently coming to the sacrament of the altar, holding forth their hands, receiving the body of Jesus Christ, receiving the blood of Jesus Christ, receiving it for the forgiveness of our sins. Because they would not come forward if they did not believe they were poor, miserable sinners needing the forgiveness of their sin. That's what it looks like when you yourself come forward. You are a receiver of the gift of God, the forgiveness of your sins and life everlasting. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In the first beatitude, Jesus' teaching is reinforced. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven stands near. And in this first of the beatitudes, we find a word of grace. The reign of heaven belongs to those who have no spiritual resources of their own, but rather who receive what it is that the Lord gives. So let us come before the Lord our God with empty hands, we who sorrow over our sins, and yes, even we who are sorrowing over our lack of sorrow. Let us come and receive the riches of the kingdom of God. For in the kingdom of God, forgiveness and eternal life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.